Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And tonight we welcome to the show actor, thespian, man about town. He is raconteur. He's a great lover. Adam Scott from The Aviator.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Drew. Adam, I'm a huge fan.
Really?
Huge fan.
Really? An actor.
Acting. Wow. No, I really am. I asked if I could be on the show. I love this show.
We were...
That's a damn lie, and you know it!
Thank you very much.
That is true.
Adam and I were sitting next to each other on Kimmel a couple weeks back, guests on the same night, and got to, have a little of his stink rub off on me. Adam is fiance of a dear, dear friend of ours who's, it's a chick. I know it's confusing when you look at it. Beautiful woman who has worked with, Naomi's worked with us over at the Man Show and then Crank Yankers and now Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Nice. Yeah.
Adam, I was watching, by the way, we'll get into the Aviator in a second. I was watching Adam on Torque tonight because Drew doesn't know what Torque is.
It's something else, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a motorcycle movie.
Oh, wow.
Ice Cube. It's a lot of attitude floating around that place. A lot of leather. A lot of attitude. A lot of guys doing like wheel stands on bikes and stuff, but yeah, he's an FBI agent. It's actually good, and the movie's got it's a little tongue in cheeky. It's all over cable right
wasn't
now.
Wasn't meant to be tongue in cheeky, but you're
it's got a little.
It actually was. I actually think there, it has some funny moments in that movie, and we all have our fingers crossed. It's Oscar time coming up.
Yeah.
I think Torque is going to rack up the nominations.
Yeah.
Push out Aviator.
Team-targeted motorcycle, rice rocket movies don't normally pull down as much as they should, but I got at least original screenplay.
Absolutely.
At least, and if not, cinematography. Absolutely. And what
best
about
song.
The outfits?
Best song. A lot of costume.
Yellow leathers with initials written across the guy's ass.
Well, best leather is a new category.
Oh, new category.
Yeah, got that word.
Hands down, unless a toboggan movie comes out at
the last. Well, Toboggans R Us is
oh, my goodness, no. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Anyway, I was watching Adam on Torque tonight. Saw Adam on in Aviator, plays Howard Hughes' publicist, and has a standout role in the movie. You saw the movie?
Mm-hmm.
I love the movie.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Drew, you're supposed to say yeah, me
no,
too.
No, I'm saying yes, of course.
And didn't The Aviator just win a Golden Globe?
It won three Golden Globes a couple nights ago.
Good. Best leathers? Or
best leathers and best initials across the ass.
That's the way they do it, Drew. Yeah. They put the name on the ass in Motorcycle Ryan. They don't do it along the top like in football or baseball. They do it along the ass.
That's nice.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know what? I love The Aviator, by the way. And you know what? Saw Million Dollar Baby? Not as good as everyone's talking about. Mm. Aviator, better film.
Mm-hmm.
That's for my
Aviator, spectacular film.
Yeah.
Think of all the stuff. I mean,
I agree. And I think sometimes, spectacular films don't get their due. Like, for my dollar, what's wrong with T2 being best film of the year?
You know,
it's got a great story. It's got solid acting. And then it's got incredible effects. That's part of the movie. That cost $50 million to do. And it took a room of nerds, 6 months solid, drinking Red Bull and not leaving unless they're doing a 70-hour week. Why isn't that factored in?
Yep.
We're so good that we can't appreciate? I mean, isn't that artistry?
Right.
I've always thought that it's a shame that in 1981, Raiders of the Lost Ark did not win Best Picture.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best movies of all time.
It's really was breakthrough, right?
Yeah,
things changed after that.
Absolutely.
Why do we have to be snobs about it?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you guys.
Making it, to me, looking like there's a 70-ton boulder rolling down a concrete canyon chasing Harrison Ford and him just sliding under something, that takes skill.
Absolutely.
There's storyboards. Somebody has to design it. Some guy's got to make a fake boulder. Why isn't that part of movie makes best movie, not best words? Yes, thank you.
Absolutely.
Did, in preparation for this film, did you read about Hughes or anything?
I did. There are several biographies. I read four biographies on Hughes.
The thing that I'm really surprised at is how sort of openly people discussing his drug addiction and how sort of covert it was in most of his biographical stuff, stuff I've read. And you really look at his story, and it's just a story of a profound stimulant addict.
Yes.
He died a cocaine addict.
Absolutely.
And I think that episode in we locked himself in the theater.
Yeah.
It was an amphetamine psychosis.
Yeah.
I mean, the people always bipolar is schizophrenic. No, he's a drug addict. That's
really?
Plain old drug addict.
I thought he was on painkillers, so.
That was part of it, but really the through line is stimulants, I think.
Yeah.
It really looks like it.
I think it's
the paranoias and the bugs and all that
Absolutely.
Stuff. It's all stimulant.
And also something that I read in a couple biographies was that he had several plane crashes, and people think he had some really severe concussions that went untreated because he was phobic of doctors and hospitals.
He could have had a seizure disorder or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I don't even really know what you do to treat severe concussions.
And by the way, in those days, they would go, oh, you're flying around the world. Take these uppers. They'll help you,
sure.
help you stay awake. He's like, oh, good.
Well, coke wasn't such a bad thing. Can't we get back to that day where there's no stigma around coke?
Not stigma. It came in soft drinks.
Yeah.
There's something called Van Mariani, which is high-dose cocaine.
I know. Came in Mr. Pibb.
Mr. Pibb, Coca-Cola.
It was in Mr. Pibb.
I was just
in Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
It's in Red Bull
Coca-Cola.
Now,
no, I don't think there's cocaine in there, but you just feel like there's cocaine.
Yeah, but if you rub a little on your dork, you'll go all night, brother. True. Remember that?
Remember Richard Pryor? Yeah.
I remember now, Adam. I think we're doing Ohio State. Remember that?
You and I together?
Yeah. Red Eye?
What?
Yeah.
That's why you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. That's right. Little brown eye before the red eye. All right.
On your
time.
Dork.
Yeah.
On your dork.
Little Red Bull on the dork.
All the color illusions here. His head was spinning.
I'm telling
Red Bull,
you,
the brown eye before the red eye.
I think we could start that. Like, for a while, about 8 years ago, that was eat an Altoid and go down
on the dude
or whatever. I think
eight years ago?
Well, let's call it 5 years ago.
Red Bull.
It was a tic-tac 8 years ago. But here's my point. I think I could start the dip it in Red Bull.
Sure.
Dip Red Bull or yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's work on that.
Let's do it.
Adam Scott, here tonight. Oh, got a few new movies coming out. Monster-in-Law with Jennifer Lopez. When does that hit the theaters?
That's May 6th on Mother's Day, I believe.
And then The Matador with Pierce Brosnan. How's that work? When's that coming out?
That's showing, I believe, this weekend in Sundance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a great movie. I'm not going to be able to go, but I hear it's great. I haven't seen it yet.
And you know when it'll come out, or does it depend on how it does at Sundance?
I think it depends on what happens at Sundance and who picks it up and all of that.
All right. You ready to go here, Drew?
Yes. I'm just freaking out that it was a year ago I was up there at Sundance. I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah. Drew, Oh, you're up there for New York Minute?
No. I was just
please
up,
no.
No. I was just skiing up there.
Drew, Sundance.
Going on around the time.
Oh,
yeah.
You were out there
yeah.
skiing while the
right,
festival was
right,
going
yeah.
on. I saw Siskel or Roper and Ebert, and New York Minute made their top 10 worst of the year. Drew played the father.
That's a great honor.
I want to be the worst of the worst, though. If you're really going to,
buddy, you're not good enough to be that bad. You're like top
Damn.
Five, top six.
Yeah. I actually was watching, Naomi and I were watching it, and were disappointed that Torque didn't make it, because Torque made the Rolling Stone one.
Oh, really?
It was actually a real, I think it's...
No,
right.
Look,
how dare you, Adam? How dare you?
You're talking a guy who's got -4 stars twice in the New York Post. -4. I argue, by the way. You know what I mean? You can't... We got to do this. We have to, first off, there's 5-star hotels, but movies only go to 4 stars. We got to work out the star thing. We got to work out the number thing.
Yeah.
And I would argue that there's no such thing as negative
well,
stars.
Well, whatever it is, it is. You can't start making, why not put 30 stars for an extra good film?
Right.
It's four.
It's 4
There has
stars.
To be a limit
right.
somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a convention.
If something is horrible, give it a 0. But you can't.
Right.
We can't be -4.
No. That's just mean.
You realize I have a -3 and a -4 stars, which I owe 7 stars now.
That's
so
good.
If I did a 4-star project, I'd still be 3 in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
But still, better to be in something that's -4 stars than something that gets 1.5 stars.
Yeah,
that's what
absolutely.
I'm saying. I want to be the worst of the worst.
No, well, you're pretty bad.
I don't want to really extinguish myself
no,
as the worst.
No, don't kick yourself, buddy. You suck.
All right.
Okay. Come on, buddy. Hold your head down.
That's good. What films were you in this year?
Wait a minute.
Drew, you did a snuff film. Should you be bragging about that?
I'm bragging.
How dare you? I could have been
is
in a
New
movie.
York Minute a snuff film?
Yes.
I can't believe I didn't see
no,
it.
No, there was the Olsen triplets before.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes. Drew killed I'm one in Vancouver. Steven?
I am.
You're 26?
I am, yeah.
What's up?
I wanted to find out. I'm planning on exing my girlfriend to marry me and then getting married in about a year or so.
I think you mean axting.
So that's it too. But what I wanted to find out is I've had this fantasy for pretty much all my life of having sex with an East Indian woman, and I wanted to know if you guys do any very clean, very sanitized, very straightforward brothels in Nevada that I could go to.
Well,
we keep a cataloged list of them.
There's the Nehru Ranch, the Smelly New Delhi,
Sri Lankan Safari.
There's tons of them, all catering to the
Smelly New Delhi is actually quite nice.
You've been?
I've
heard it's primarily in Nevada, and it's legal.
Yeah, they got a bottomless salad bowl over there. They got a bar over there.
It's delicious.
What is he talking about? First off, You're stretching it to find the Eastern Indian broads in there. You know what I mean?
It's weird.
Right?
Yeah.
But what do you find? You can find white chicks.
I would think.
You got the black chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Latino chicks. Great, right? You can get them at a discount usually. You got to show them. You got to have a club card. I get my thing punched. I buy Mexican in bulk through. But I pass along. Steven?
Chub pack?
Chub pack of Mexican women. Steven?
Yeah.
Why Eastern Indian?
I don't know. I guess to say why blondes or brunettes is sort of the same thing.
And if you're attracted to that kind of woman, why aren't you dating that kind of woman?
Who you fall in love with.
What's that?
You can't help who you fall in love with. The woman I'm with is the one I knew I'm going to marry. I'm destined to be with.
But, Steven, what does this have to do with you getting married?
He's a romantic. It's so old-fashioned. Yes. It's so refreshing to find a romantic, old-fashioned guy who wants to bang an Indian chick before he gets married.
Is there any Kleenex in here? I'm getting choked up.
It is kind of... it's pretty emotional.
Really sweet.
Yeah. Steven?
Yeah.
I don't know that you can find... I don't think you can find an Eastern Indian person in the city in Nevada, within the borders of Nevada.
That's amazing.
I'm sure there are pockets.
There are pockets, but it's like at the ER or something. I mean, you got to go to the hospital. You're not going to find them working the ranch.
No, no.
Yeah, they don't swing that way.
But where are they? Like the
Steven, we don't know. We don't know.
You know where they are? They're in East India.
Yeah,
there you go. That's probably what I need to do.
Yeah, I don't know where they are out here. I'm not so sure that they want to hang out with guys who pronounce ask. Axe. I think that's one of the
criteria.
I think they actually have that like laminated on a wristband, and it's one of the things they look for. it's one of the things they don't want to date a guy with. Yeah. All right. Was he serious?
I don't know, but
he wants to do it before he gets married. I think that's the point. Right?
That's the key.
Just go on the internet. I'm sure there's East Indian.
Wear a condom. Places. Whatever you do.
Yeah.
I'm trying
rethink this marriage. Think carefully about it.
I'm trying to think of the pros and cons. Like, they do, they have that long hair with that big rope, big anchor rope braid, you know? That's kind of nice. You got that part. Nice eyes.
Well, and they have the sarong, which is lovely.
They don't have the dot unless they get married, right? It's a dot. I think
I don't
the dot's for marriage.
I didn't know that.
I think it is.
Could be.
Engineer Chris.
Look that up on the internet.
To the Batcave.
Okay,
look that up. And I think the dot's the marriage. That's cool. Other than that, I don't think they don't have a lot of weird body hair. Not big cans. Modest-breasted women. So.
Some of them.
I never see it. And you don't see them in Playboy or anything, really, do you? Yeah.
Did you see Bennett like Beckham?
Yeah. I saw bits and pieces of it. That's a good-looking woman, right?
Mm-hmm. Her sister is beautiful in that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they have all the makings, you know, the dark
But they also
skin.
Have very together families, very tight families, and they're not, you know, not the prostitution, the history there.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to
You're
pry
probably
one
right.
away.
There's probably...
not the trauma stuff.
Yeah,
they don't get traumatized
They take
enough.
Care of each other, they make kids become professionals.
Yeah, the dads aren't beating the crap out of them all the time, burning them with cigarettes and stuff. We got to get them to start doing that so we can start filling the brothels.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to make a pilgrimage to India to see if I can get them to start abusing their kids so we can start getting more Indian porn churned out and more strip clubs and things like that. You know how it goes.
You can probably get UNICEF to help you out with that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Sponsor you to go over there. And
get Richard Gere to cut a PSA for me.
Sally Struthers.
She's got the glasses, sleeves rolled up. Very
Absolutely.
Serious mode.
Lauren, 19.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
Okay.
Hold on, let me I was thinking about Richard Gere was in the news wanting something. I don't know what he wants. I've just decided I've had a total ass full of Richard Gere and Bono. These are two guys I've had an ass full of. And then I decided, we got to get these guys a country to ruin. Like, please. I've had such an ass full of these two with what's going on and what we need to do and what we're not doing. It's like, we're doing too much of this. We're not doing... Who are you guys? Mr. Blackwell of the goddamn country? Let's just shut your pie holes. Or why don't you get you? By the way, where are you living? Go to your beloved wherever you're from and just stay there and just go. Well, we'll get you a country to experiment on.
Right.
You know what it is? It's like we got a 15-year-old who likes to wrench. We got to get him a junker car and throw it out in the yard and just let him go at it. Otherwise, he's going to start running with a gang.
It's a great idea.
And monkeying with our car. Perfect. So he doesn't monkey with our car. Let's give him something just to wrench on, a tractor.
So you're saying
something.
Give them an actual piece of land.
Give them
a piece
country, of land.
An existing country.
We'll give them like Bikini Island or something. Something small, something they get started on. And they can just go over there and complain until they're blue in the face.
Yeah.
He'll have like a benefit concert. Gear can do a poetry reading. Whatever it is, just go do it and leave us alone. And I swear to God, Drew, one day soon, mark my words, I'm going to pick a pop singer. And where's Bono from? Ireland, Scotland?
Ireland.
I'm going to get Bob Seger to go to Ireland and start making policy and see how Bono likes it. He's going to start waving his arms around going, what's wrong? I don't like this. This has got to go. This is this injustice and stuff like that. And see how Bono likes some blowhard from America going to his crappy country and saying what's wrong with it. That
great
would be
idea.
Awesome.
What kind of laws would Bob Seger come up with? Like, everyone has to drink Miller High Life?
Coors Light, Silver Bullet. Yeah, he sings
he sang the theme to, and that's right.
Yeah, he does. I think he does like a Chevy truck thing. Mm-hmm. You know what he wants? He wants smoking put back into bars. Oh. He wants the alcohol level raised in the beer.
He could be a national hero in Ireland.
Well, I'm just saying, I want Bob Seger to go to Ireland and start mandating new policies.
Yeah.
Yes, and critiquing every move.
Yes, absolutely.
Making fun of how the Irish conduct themselves in the parliament.
Right, yeah. And
the Roid Royal Sir.
And then we'll see how Bono likes it. See how it feels. Shoes on the other foot now. Yes?
Yes.
That's right.
Lauren?
Yes.
Ugh, what a blowhard.
What's going on?
Go ahead.
Okay. After I have sex with my boyfriend, mm-hmm. I have, like, severe cramping in my lower abdominal area. Like, I break out in cold sweats. I mean, it is, like, it's almost made me nauseous.
Does this happen every single time you have sex?
It's not every, like, that's the weird thing about it. It's not every time. It's either, like, a week before my period or, like, a week after. And it's just, like, and it's consistent.
And how long has this been going on for?
Probably a good 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I, yeah.
Have you been worked up for this?
Huh?
Have you been evaluated?
Yeah, I went to the gynecologist, and she said that just to not have him penetrate so hard, but that's still not working. Like, and like the weird thing is, I have a cyst on my right ovary, and I don't know if that was something to do with it or what was going on.
Is the pain on the right side?
It's like all over.
Yeah, it sounds. It does not sound like it's the cyst, though the cyst can do that. I mean, the cyst can leak sometimes, too, a little fluid, and that can cause sort of a little peritoneal reaction, like a peritonitis, quite literally.
What? Is belly hurts?
Yeah, the abdomen hurts. And it can be endometriosis. Do they check? Probably the only way you're going to get an answer for this is if they do a laparoscopy.
Okay.
And where they look around in there. And I'm not sure you want to go through all that. Are you on the birth control pill?
I'm on Depo, Provera.
Yeah. There's some just data that came out just today that they're
saw it.
They're suggesting that Depo shouldn't be used more than a few years because of a diminished bone density.
Is that a birth control shot?
It's a birth control shot. And you might want to go on a birth control pill that has some estrogen in it because that may shrink the cyst. It might, if you have endometriosis, might control that a little better than the progesterone. Mm-hmm. Just kind of talk to your gynecologist about that.
Yeah. Chris, did you find what the dot means with the Eastern Indian woman?
No, what is it? What is it called?
It's called
a bindi, Chris.
Okay,
bindi.
Spelled?
B-I-N-D-I. Yeah.
But wait a minute. Do you need to know that to find that answer out?
You would figure something out.
Come on, buddy. All right. Think about Chris when you put him on assignment. He's like some package that you think's in the mail, but it never got a stamp put on it. You're just sitting and waiting. Well, it should be, and you realize it's not going anywhere.
I dated a girl from India for a while.
Yeah,
she was a bindi.
And it's no, she didn't have one. I wouldn't have dated her if she did. But
why?
It means a third eye. Mainly.
Yeah, but
does
that mean
you're
married?
part of the Hindu religion.
But
has nothing to do with marriage. No, guys
have
them
too. Nothing to do with marriage. Oh, guys have them too?
I don't know.
Yeah, the girls are like circular and the guys are usually like bigger. You've seen the guy like sitting Indian style, meditating with.
Oh, you mean, yeah, but those are the size of a ripe sticker. I thought that was a ripe sticker. That's not like the ripe sticker you put on fruit.
Bananas?
No? It's not like a banana sticker?
Chiquita?
All right.
All right, so the Bindi means she's devout Hindu, is that right?
That's a Hindu thing.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be like the spiritual third eye.
No, we get that. But
well, see, if she worked at the ranch, it'd give you something to aim for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's bullseye. Funny.
So you can hit her right in that spiritual porthole.
I thought the marriage idea was interesting, though.
I you know what? I thought Jimmy told me that at some point. Yeah. It sort of makes
sense.
Can't
believe everything Kimmel tells you, can you?
Well
Jimmy said it.
Jimmy said. All right, maybe somebody else told me, but it made sense.
Maybe you're thinking a lip ring for the Africans?
Oh, you mean the
plate? The bigger the lip plate, the more cattle the father gets of the husband.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's amazing those people don't have a space program. It's shocking, isn't it? Yeah, we got a piece of 3/4 CDX ply stuffed in my bottom lip. How's the shuttle going? That no? Nothing? Got a porta potty with a skyrocket duct tape to it. No? That's all, huh? Okay. All right. How's nothing? All right, let's rock here. Chris, what do you know, buddy? Looking good?
Bindi?
Feeling good. The Bindi.
Yeah.
Anderson.
That's right.
Thanks, Anderson.
On top.
Wait, but we got somebody calling in talking to Brian right now claiming that I'm all wrong. So we'll
see. Yeah. Okay, good.
Dave on 5.
Crystal? Oh, Dave on 5? I want to see if we can get to the bottom of this. Dave?
Yes.
Dave, what do you know about the dot in the Eastern Indian woman's head?
The dot is actually a caste mark. It shows their family status in society.
Mm,
well, really? There's different caste. Was it Brahmins or something?
Which, yeah, it's a Brahmin subclass.
Mm. But aren't they all red and circular?
The ones on the women indicating the Brahmin subclass are I think they can be different colors, but yeah, they're mainly fairly small and circular. The ones you see on the guys that are the larger ones are indicating a different status for a different class.
And how old they have to be before they get the red one, the women?
That I don't know.
Is it have to do anything to do with marriage?
No, it doesn't have anything to do to marriage because you can see it on unmarried women as well.
Okay.
Here's what I understand.
Is it even called a Bindi?
I don't actually know if it's
okay.
If they all, and by the way, they paint that on, they stick it on, is it
tattoos?
Permanent?
Is it's
it
makeup.
It's makeup. All right, so here's then the question.
Mm-hmm.
If it shows a class, but 3/4 of the country has it, what good is that?
3/4 of the country don't have it.
No.
Small
class. The ones that we see, you know, it's the traditional educated
come over here and
I see
professionals.
I see
professionals have it, but the majority don't.
If you wear one and you're not from that qualified? Class.
What like, happens?
Boy, I don't know.
I could get one of those. Yeah, you know what?
I think they'd figure it out if it wasn't you.
You just keep shooting into the portal.
I don't remember what we have. I think, you know what we have here? We have rims.
Yeah.
You know, we have big 22-inch rims. That's your sort of nobility. That's how people know you've arrived.
That's also a portal to the underworld.
I'm going
to
start wearing a large chrome rim on my forehead tomorrow.
Yeah, and make sure the thing keeps spinning.
Absolutely.
Sure, keep spinning. That's how you know. That's how you've arrived. When you can drop $6,000 on a ridiculous rim for your car, it means you got extra cash. I mean, really, all these things are really about extra cash. If you think about it, like, well, you only have enough for Top Ramen. You're not a rich guy. But if you walk around with a big gold nugget watch, it costs $30,000, and a Timex could have taken its place. It means you have extra money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it all sort of boils down to?
Yep, there we go.
Yeah, look at Adam.
Baby G.
Got a Casio with Velcro wristbands.
Yeah,
so.
But you're just keeping it real.
Yeah.
Adam true. Scott here tonight, by the way, from The Aviator. Just won the Golden Globe for Best Film. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Or Adam Scott is here tonight. One of the stars of The Aviator. I think he's going to win best film this year.
I agree.
It should.
Thank you.
It was the best one I saw all year.
Thanks.
Adam was fantastic in it, and also going to be out coming soon with Jennifer Lopez in Monster in Law, and then possibly The Matador with Pierce Brosnan and Greg Kinnear.
The club that you guys filmed in, was that just a set, or was there...
That was a set. That Dante Ferretti designed that and built it up in Montreal, the Coconut Grove. Yeah,
they were supposed to be in the Ambassador Hotel. Is that
yeah.
It looks like
still
it was
there,
supposed to be there.
I was wondering, if, if they actually took that back over as an empty building.
Though. I know. It's built to scale. It's exactly how big the room was. And the Grauman's Chinese Theater, we used the exterior of it.
Yeah.
That was built in Montreal as well to scale.
It's but, crazy.
Yeah.
Did they actually have the flybys and all that stuff? Was that actually
that was CGI later.
Okay.
But those crowds, thousands of people out there. And
that was all...
Yeah,
on a
I mean, we were out in a in the parking lot of a studio lot up in Montreal.
Wow.
It was so strange because it was so to scale. I was standing there, you know, where the handprints and footprints are at the Grauman's Chinese, and it felt like I was actually there waiting to go see a movie because I've been there so many times to see movies and
where?
I was in Montreal. It was very strange. Yeah,
it's amazing how it's just cheaper to actually reconstruct the Alps than it is to actually use the Alps.
Right.
Has something to do with lighting, but it really is like, you need to film in the New York sewer system. You need to just make a sewer system.
Absolutely,
you can't just go and it just seems like incredibly like really could there be anything that's even more trouble than this?
Yeah.
I guess they worked it out, and I really do. Here, the whole thing about doing anything in movies and even TV to a certain degree. Lighting. No one has any idea how long it takes, how expensive it is, how much is involved with it. Even the stuff doesn't even look like it's lit. It takes all day to light. I know, Drew. I was a stand-in on Judgment Night.
Emilio Estevez movie?
Yes.
Right on.
Standing in. One of the bad guys.
Dennis Leary.
Yeah.
Steven Dorff.
That's right.
Cuba Gooding.
That's right. Never talked to any of them. Yeah, Everlast was in it.
Well, I was
Everlast was in it?
From the other day, and I just,
Yeah, that's Everlast. I must have, I don't know what he was saying. But all you
well,
do when you're...
Well, I was blowing my boyfriend the other day.
Oh, that's him, yeah. All you do is pray that your guy gets killed last and that they shoot in order. That's what you do as a stand-in. Easy money, Drew. Mm. Just sitting around.
Whose stand-in were you on that one?
I stood in for a short, long-haired guy. I looked nothing like, but the AD got me a gig. $110 a day. Easy street, Drew.
Not bad.
Oh, man.
Not bad.
Good
so,
money, good gig.
I was an extra in a Tia Carrere music video.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know she sang.
It's a good gig.
Yeah. Extra, stand-ins, good stuff, Drew.
Very
good. Get into that. With your education, you could probably get in.
Make quite a money.
I could hook you up.
Crystal?
Yeah.
You're sorry for disturbing your anger. You're 17?
Yeah.
What'd your dad do to you, first and foremost?
My dad's not there. I mean, most of my childhood, he was gone in other states.
When he was around, what was he like?
He was an asshole, an alcoholic.
Mm. Yeah. Here's the thing, Crystal. We're not your dad.
Yeah.
But you're treating us like him from the moment you picked up the phone.
Read what her problem is, what it says. Read the only thing it says on the screen.
Boyfriend blames erectile problems on medication. Is that why?
All right. The point is how do I know her dad? Well, she called the show,
well,
so
no,
her dad's
abusive. You made her feel.
She's angry.
She made you feel that projective identification.
She said one syllable.
Before she spoke, you went, what did your dad do to you?
She went...
Yeah,
it's weird. Listen, everybody, understand, you give it off. Mm-hmm. Man, do you give it off.
Well, somebody gave it to you, and now you expect
now
that
you're
from
giving
everybody.
It off.
Yeah.
You radiate this anger. Now, not everyone has as finely tuned a dish as we do, Drew. I got to give ourselves
true.
Up.
Thank you for including me in that. I thought you just consider yourself.
Thank you.
That
it's important for me to compliment myself every 8 to 12 minutes on the show. But this chick is angry, and the only way we knew it is from, like I said, about a syllable out of her. So, Crystal.
What is your question?
You got to work that anger stuff out, baby. Well, what?
The only time that my dad he knows that, he hasn't been a very good dad, but he won't admit it unless he's drunk.
Yeah, well, Crystal, right, well, Crystal,
you got to get him loaded.
You got to let go of your dad and go ahead and become a separate person. Learn to accept that he's a sick person. He's not what you expected him or needed from him. But if you continue to treat all males like they're him, it's going to be a very long life. So go ahead and ask your question.
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering if anxiety medication can keep a guy from getting it up.
What medication?
I'm not sure exactly. You just said anxiety medication.
There's all kinds of anxiety medication.
Well, what about it? Mostly.
Yes. Well, people take serotonin reuptake inhibitors for anxiety. Things like Paxil and even Prozac sometimes for anxiety. Yeah, Effexor. These all have been used for generalized anxiety disorder.
Crystal?
Mm-hmm.
I need you to not have any kids for a while. Can you do that?
Yeah.
She there? Crystal?
Yeah.
What are you using for birth control?
Trinessa.
Mm-hmm. Is that Black Nanny? Who is that?
Birth control pill?
What is that, Drew?
It's another form, a generic version.
Okay.
I'm going to try
Crystal, I don't trust this guy you're with.
How old is he?
He's 19.
Yeah. All right. What's he do?
What does he do?
Uh-oh. Bad sign.
Yeah.
Next red flag is, well, mm-hmm. Right now. Right. Yeah? What's he doing right now?
He works at a restaurant.
Aha!
Same restaurant you work at?
No.
Okay. Here's the deal. There's a lot of medicines that can cause erectile dysfunction. A lot. Psychiatric medications are very, very commonly prone to do this.
Don't have any kids. Get some therapy. Quit trying to wake your dad up. He's a loser.
Go to Al-Anon.
Let him go.
Adult children of alcoholics if you want. But, you're going to have to let go of dad.
Look, everybody. But here's the thing. Assess your parents. I know it's painful. But assess them and then cut them loose. Do not spend your life trying to change them. It's frustrating.
Or more importantly, reach back into the traumatic past and make it right by reenacting the trauma all over again.
Yeah, their crap-filled legacy is you treating every single person you see as if it was your father.
Right.
And then abusing them and then recreating the abuse because, of course, you anger them and they immediately start yelling at you. Crystal, by the way, is quickly replacing Cammy.
It's the number one
white trash name.
By the way, I want to commend you for evolving a little bit yourself.
I'm
going to
move it around. Crystal, Cammy, Tammy.
Yes.
Top
three. Tammy.
Yes. But Adam, you've now evolved from getting angry at these victims to immediately taking a deep breath and going, "What'd your dad do to you?"
Yeah.
You used to be, you'd launch into abuse first.
Yeah.
Then we'd bring it
around. I always knew someone was angry because they made me angry and they barely had to say anything. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. They do it in everything they do. That's what their cadence is. It's that three Mississippi before every answer. It's that you have to ring them like a bar rag to get anything out of them.
And then when you give them advice, it's, well, what is this, what you think?
Right. Yeah.
It's like, hey, you called for advice. Right.
Well, here's the thing about angry people. Angry people are sort of, it's like the proverbial tree falling in the forest. If there's no one around, are they really angry? Don't they need someone to piss off in order to exercise their anger?
Yes. Sure.
So they will actually call you and then be angry with you.
For talking to them.
Yes.
Well, how old is Crystal?
17.
And by the way, sounds like she's 30. She has time.
Turn it around.
Yeah, everyone has time. No one wants to use it.
Right.
That's it. She'll be the same at 34 she is at 17.
Well, I remember. Thus spake Corolla.
When I was 17, I thought, I didn't think anything was, I thought I was as grown up as I could ever be, you know, just.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
she
was right.
She has plenty of time. I was right. But I think Crystal's going to grow up even more.
Yeah. No, I think she gets fatter, but I don't think emotionally she moves anywhere.
We'll see.
All right, Crystal, get some therapy, please. Work out these angers, these issues with your dad, and leave your dad alone. Alcoholic
done.
Idiot.
Done.
Yep. Yes. Tara?
And by the way, even if she has heals this relationship, has the delightful relationship with dad, it's not going to change the past.
No, not really.
Because it's a different Crystal and a different dad.
It's like you making friends with the bear that mauled you years ago. You still got the scar tissue and you speak, you get a little dribble and you speak.
You still remember the terror. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now the bear's fine. It's pulling you around on a cart, but it's because your legs don't work.
Yeah, well, has a little hat on.
Adam, no. Sorry. No, he's not wearing a hat. Plate. No. What was that, bro? Do you know what that was?
No, the bears with the hats.
We're trying to help people.
I know.
Let's go to the phones.
I'm scared.
Can we go to the phones?
I'm really sorry.
What was that hat? I don't know what that... Yeah, but I don't know what it was.
No, the bear with the hat and the circus.
No, it's worse now.
Chris?
No, it's getting worse.
Help me out.
It's getting worse.
It's Tara, 22.
Drew, what was that? I don't know what that was.
You both looked at me like a just crazy.
Tara, 22.
Would someone explain to me what that was?
I get that nightly, dude.
Yeah. Tara?
Yeah.
Tara? Oh, I'm always going to be wrong. Well, you're 22.
Right.
All right. From now on, anyone named Tara or Tara, I'm gonna call Who Cares.
Okay. Well,
who cares? You're 22. You're on line three. What's up?
Well, let's see. I am totally not wanting to have sex with my husband ever. We've been married for 3.5 years.
Yeesh.
Kids?
Yeah, we've got 3 kids. So obviously we had sex at one point.
When was your last kid?
4.5 months ago. And
how long have you been shut down for?
Oh, every time that I'm not pregnant, I don't really want to have sex. I have a 2.5-year-old who's almost 3, a 1-year-old, and a 4.5-month-old.
What are they? What are their sexes?
2 boys and a girl. My little 4-month-old is my girl.
Oh. I was thinking it'd be cool if you had 2 girls and a boy. It could be, that's little Tara and that's little Tara.
Never thought about that.
Yeah. It'd be great to have three girls where you do Andrea and Andrea. Drew, I got to get 3 girls. I mean, 1 Andrea, 1 Andrea, and 1 Andrea. That'd be awesome. Wouldn't it just piss off the world? Everyone's going to be, and they're constantly correcting. And here's what I tell them. Even if they get your name right, correct them. If they call you Andrea, you go Andrea. And Andrea, if they call you Andrea, you say, no, it's Andrea. It would just piss everyone. And they walk through the whole life correcting everyone all the time. Yeah?
Perfect.
That's going to be perfect. That's what I want.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
I'm
here.
You got, why 3 kids, by the way? You're 22.
Because birth control, I was on birth control with all 3 of them, and apparently the kind of birth control I was on wasn't working for me.
Guess not.
Yeah.
Were you take, what birth control was it, by the way?
One might wanted to adjust it after the first 2 children,
yes,
by
indeed.
The way.
After the first 2, they did put me on a different one, and I got pregnant within 2 weeks.
Were you taking antibiotics or something?
No. I was having some lower pelvic pain. I went into the doctor, and they said pelvic inflammatory, and my doctor said, oh, that's impossible, and then a couple weeks later, here I was pregnant.
Wow. Well, now, wait a minute. You're misleaving some of the story out. So they said you had PID. Did they give you antibiotics?
No. They wanted me. I'm on a military base, and so I went into the emergency room when I wasn't feeling good. And when I went back into the doctor, because you have to do a follow-up, they want me to go back into the doctor the next day. They ran blood tests. They said, my doctor said, no, you don't have PID. I don't know what's going on.
So you think you were pregnant already at that point?
I do.
Okay.
I think if I was, and looking at like my ovulation cycle, I was probably only a week or so pregnant.
Hmm. All right. Well, certainly pregnancy will shut women down. For the first year after pregnancy, there's a number of factors that can go in here. There are profound hormonal changes, obviously, with pregnancy that can persist for up to a year. There are mood disturbances associated with pregnancy that can be quite serious and interfere with libido and sex drive. And then the stress of being a mom and having 3 kids is enough to drive anybody away. And God knows what's going on in your relationship. You have no time to attend to that. So these are very common.
I'm going to have to get a nanny for little Andrea. Andrea and Andrea.
The other thing I just discovered something today.
Awesome.
I was doing some research, and apparently it looks like the transdermal kinds of pills and things.
The patches
may be better at in keeping libido up, because when you take the pills and it goes through the liver, it can change the levels of something called sex hormone binding globulin, which is a protein that circulates in your blood, and it goes up in response to that pass through the liver, and that's a protein that hangs on to testosterone.
Hold on a second, dude. Are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
Yeah. And so the free testosterone is what gives you your libido, and that drops down with all the sex hormone binding globulin going up. So if you use the transdermal agents, you may be able to sort of have an effect on that. So that's one thing I would look into.
Quiet down. Who cares? The transdermal stuff does not pass through the liver.
No, it goes directly into your stream. It gets metabolized in the liver, but doesn't have that first pass. See, things come out of your gut, go right into your liver through the portal circulation.
How about a booze?
Booze patch?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm saying, I like to go home, pop a few Vicodin, drink some red wine. I don't want the pressure on the liver.
What if I just take
a shot glass of like Absolute and I just tape it to my arm? Will I eventually absorb it?
No, you can keister it.
What if I put a hole in my arm?
Keister it, it'll go in.
What do they call those, stents?
Stent?
Stent? How about a little stent? Like a little blue stent?
Sure, you could do that.
I hook myself up to it like I'm on dialysis. Drew, why not? Why can't I absorb that?
The problem with the liver metabolism of alcohol is not because of first pass. It's the chronic exposure.
Oh, it is. Not the first pass.
No, no.
All right. So
I didn't know that birth control pills affected women's libido. I didn't know.
Oh, very definitely. Progesterone in particular. Depo-provera can shut them down big time.
All right.
And some women need estrogen to enhance libido. They're more estrogen makes women receptive.
Right.
Androgens make them desire and have drive. And progesterone can either shut them down or give them drive.
Sure.
Who cares?
On Wellbutrin. Yeah. And anxiety medication, because that...
What anxiety medication?
Oh, starts with an X.
Xanax?
That's it.
Yeesh.
True, that starts with
a
Z, Dodo.
No, that's X.
Z.
It's X.
It's like xylophone or Xerox, idiot. Who cares?
That's with a Z.
Yeah.
Well, duh, xylophone. who cares? What about your husband? Is he do you love him? Is he doing okay?
Oh, yeah. We obviously have our issues.
Right.
And issues being like he's stressed out and so he's grumpy with the kids.
Here's the deal, Tara.
He's in the military.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Here's how I would approach this, Tara. A, get help so you're not stressed out all the time.
Yeah.
B, spend time together so you can focus on this relationship a little bit. C, think about switching to these transdermal agents or something perhaps with more estrogen. Sometimes triphasic pills, if you can stay with the pill, are more effective than the others in enhancing
libido. You're in the military, that patch comes in cami.
And then get off the Xanax if you can, because that's going to crush your libido a little bit further.
All right. Look, you're 22. This is why you don't have three kids at 22 on a military salary.
I was talking to a doctor today who was
living in a tent, for the love of Christ. You shave out of a helmet. I know the life, Drew. I've seen the movie.
You've been there.
Oh, lived it, yeah.
Pee in the sink.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Drew?
I was talking to a doctor who does research on this stuff today, and he was saying, he was listing the things that improve women's libido and desire and drive for sex. And he goes, but there's one thing that tends to supersede all others. That's a new partner. Even for women, though. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Yeah. New broom sweeps clean. I'll tell you why, because the new guys are all in the, I just want to stare into your eyes until forever and all this nonsense. Yeah. Oh, what do you mean? Your old guy didn't picnic? He didn't picnic?
Your old guy.
We're going to the bowl. Puss. There should be some sort of Geneva Convention where new guys, I aren't allowed to give foot massages and stare in eyes.
You should see a laser appear on his forehead right at that point.
Penny for your thoughts, yeah.
Yeah, have you ever been on a picnic to the Hollywood Bowl when it wasn't in the first 2 months of the release?
No, not in year number five, no. And if you do go to the Hollywood Bowl, it's like, here's 20. Go go hit the snack check. I want to see change, bitch. Adam Scott here from The Aviator. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam Scott here tonight. Dear, dear friend, Adam Scott from The Aviator. In theaters as we speak. I think it's been in theaters we're going on week number 7.
It opened nationwide on Christmas Day.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was in a few cities before that for a couple weeks.
Ah. Well, I ran right out and saw it. I love airplanes. Anything airplane.
A lot of airplanes in the movie.
Big in airplanes. Dug every aspect of that. And then the story was good and a huge, interesting story. So, to me, I could have seen a second half of it, by the way. There could be a 2-hour part two that's just the Vegas years I would gladly watch.
Me too.
Eric?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
You have a Germany or Florida for us?
Yeah.
All right, here's how Germany or Florida is played. You tell us the bizarre, macabre, wacky story, and then we decide. Is it Germany or Florida? Go ahead, Eric.
A mother has been arrested and charged with aggravated neglect of a child and marijuana possession after she stepped out to smoke a joint and her daughter started a fire in their home. Passersby called the fire department when they saw flames shooting out of the woman's windows. Mm. The mother's 4-year-old daughter had been left alone and was playing with candles, which caused the fire.
4-year-old daughter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Playing with candles. All right, that's it?
Story. That's it? No other clues?
Okay. All right.
Candles ring Germany.
They do?
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Why is
that? It sure does. I don't know. Because it doesn't ring Florida.
You think Kristallnacht, they're going down the street with the candle slit, busting all the Jews' windows.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels German. Candles feel German.
Story Floridian.
It's Floridian except for the part where you step outside to blow a joint.
Oh, yeah. She's to get high right
Florida,
there.
Florida, you get your kid high with you, like your dog.
Ah.
Put a hefty bag over the kid's head and just blow the bong.
Something
smoke
kept
right
screaming
into
Germany
it.
To me, I got to tell you.
We're going German?
I think
there's
Germany.
Some crazy German vibe.
Quality. I agree with you. Okay.
All right, Adams, German.
Even though it's a Floridian story,
yeah,
we're going German.
All right, Eric, we're going Germany.
It's Florida.
Oh, come on.
God, we outsmarted ourselves.
That doesn't make any sense.
Damn it!
That happened in our own country?
Of course.
I can't believe it. On Bush's watch?
Yeah, come on.
I can't believe it. Oh, Eric has another Germany or Florida.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Jesus, Drew, when's the last time the whole panel was stumped?
And such conviction, too.
These are sick interested from too much fun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these.
Never gets
guaranteed
old.
Not to bore you, Germany or Florida.
All right, we got to take a break.
We do.
Yeah.
Why do we got to take a break so fast, Drew?
What's that clock say?
That
clock on the wall.
Clock on the wall says 10:54 and 20 seconds.
There we go.
All right, Adam Scott here from The Aviator and many other projects. Also out on cable on Torque right now.
That's probably right.
On as we speak. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Adam Scott here tonight from The Aviator. Little Phil. Have you heard of him? Telling Adam during the commercial break that Ty Pennington's not a real carpenter. And I just have to laugh because Engineer Anderson, who probably hears the last 20 seconds of every conversation we have.
He hears the whole conversation.
Probably hears it 5 times a week. Imposter. Wood imposter. Carpenter imposter. Oh, no. No, I asked him layout. He said 18 on center. Remember that, Drew? 18 on center. Make the bays 16 and a half. Are you kidding? Make that R-13's going to drop into that bay?
I was just telling some girl the other day the whole story about how you exposed them, and it breaks their hearts.
Yeah.
I think they get real sad.
Yes, imposter. Imposter.
But I think we all agree that he is gorgeous.
Beautiful, beautiful man.
And very
loud.
And
good with a megaphone, yes.
And a lovely guy, not a bad guy,
no.
As far as I know, but not a carpenter.
Right.
People, you know what? Let me just say this about carpenter very quickly. People mistake sort of handyman or hobbyist with carpenter.
Yeah.
Carpenter's like it would be like a massage therapist being mixed with a doctor, mm-hmm. confused for a doctor.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of, you know, carpentry is just a whole bunch of technical stuff. It's like a whole bunch of 16 on centers and a whole bunch of here's the spans and here's the header spans and live loads and static loads and double top plates and treatem bottom plates and all this stuff that's to do with a bunch of crap like flashing and Z molding and mill core and stuff, expansion joints. It's just a bunch of boring mathematical stuff mm-hmm. that you have to do. Otherwise, the inspector will shut you down.
Right.
But it's all just a bunch of technical stuff. It's not really about, you know, sticking beads, stringing beads and making a bathroom shower curtain out of it or sticking stuff or or burning stuff with wood, you know, shellac or
it's
something.
It's not design.
No, it's not design.
Right.
I think people are calling handy people carpenters. Yes, Drew?
Yeah.
But he, you know, it seems like he
tries
kinda,
to pass himself off. Ah, no. He wouldn't know what the nailing schedule on some shear wall was. No way. Drew, do you know?
16 on center?
No.
What is,
well, there's the field, and then there's the seam.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little different, a little tighter.
Well, the seam is what I'm talking about.
Seam be like 4 inches. It varies, and the field might be 8 or 10 inches. All right. Chrissy?
Yes?
26?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and Ty Pennington, you know what I know him as now? Benedict Arnold.
Ooh.
Benedict Arnold. Mm.
You know what you can call him is who cares?
Chrissy?
Yeah.
You're 26?
I'm 26.
What's happening, baby doll?
And I've been taking Depo-Provera for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And I just recently went to go get my injection again, and they told me that it's going to be my last one because of the bone density that I'm losing or something.
Right, that's something I mentioned earlier on the show, yeah.
And I'm not completely sure what to do about that. I mean, they told me they're not going to give me another one, but I don't
know. Yeah, you have to, now you should switch to an estrogen-containing birth control. They believe that will restore. They don't think this is a long-term problem.
Bone density comes back?
It comes back.
How do they measure that?
We have
something called a DEXA scan.
Really?
It's a radiographic scan that evaluates bone density.
Yeah.
But you don't have to do it. The fact is, though, that more than 5 years of Depo-Provera is associated
with... Massage therapists wouldn't know what a DEXA scan was. You see how it works?
Is considered a risk for significant bone loss, and so you want to switch over to an estrogen-containing pill or patch.
Mm-hmm.
Or ring or something. You know, there's the rings now, too.
Uh-huh.
Nuva ring, yeah.
Yeah.
Estrogen ring? No, vaginal ring.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Speaking of ring, you know, if you're nailing that shear wall off, you might want to use a ring shank nail.
Oh, ring shank. Oh, yeah, I was just thinking that.
A little more pull-out strength than a vinyl-coated sinker.
I prefer the vinyl-coated sinker, though.
Yeah. You know, I like to play a little game I like to play in my head called Definitely Not a Jew. How about the guy that put the 16-penny framing nail into his head yesterday and actually had it x-rayed? Drew, I know you managed to miss everything that's on television and newspapers. This guy had an x-ray of a 16-penny framing nail, and 16-penny is a 3.5-inch nail. It's the biggest nail.
In his brain?
Went under his chin, and there's a picture. Engineer Chris.
I actually saw this. It was interesting.
Pull something up on the internet. I believe Chris has an 8-penny nail. Mm. It's a smaller nail that's sunk into his brain. But this guy had a framing nail. As big a nail as could be fired from a gun.
Wow.
I mean, they have pin guns and finish guns and finish nail guns and everything else. The biggest nail that can be fired from the biggest nail gun is a 16-penny nail. Mm. He had this under his jaw, his x-ray, the thing going up. Didn't feel a thing when the thing went into him. And then, I don't know, a week later, felt a little tooth pain.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Literally felt nothing?
I didn't know about it when he did it. These guns will fire off. I mean, most of them, they have safeties on them, which is if you hold the trigger down,
right. They
don't do anything. You have to depress the end of it in order for them to fire.
So did it backfire?
I was able to get by that when I did carpet by holding it back and then firing at people who are eating lunch. But the point is you have to depress this thing on the end. Some guys take it off once in a while or whatever. And
he leaned it up against his chin?
I don't know what he did.
He was resting?
He fired a 16-penny nail up, which is at least 3.5, maybe 3.25, up in the bottom of his jaw and up in his head. There's a great x-ray. It looks like somebody, you know, did a CGI
laid it on top
thing
of it,
and
yeah.
laid it on top.
You know
but,
what?
But I thought, definitely not a Jew. Definitely not. Yeah, no way was that guy a Jew.
No, he's not Jewish.
And you know
not
what?
Jewish.
They're not going to take that out either.
Yes, they will. No, this one they will.
They're just going to leave it.
It's not in his brain.
Yeah, but you take it out, you can cause life-threatening bleeding. You can then the arteries
well, there's like,
break
run up
loose.
Some cavity or something. Chris, find that picture.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Can I go over there?
Right yeah, go over there.
There. He was thinking of changing his job now.
What?
Doing
he was.
Doing something different other than a
carpenter? All right. Drew's going to go look at that. Yeah. Yeah. You see that, Drew?
It went in his eye? It's in this?
No. I think it went under his chin and went straight up. Did it not?
It looks like it's going like this.
Sideways?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's in his orbit. It's in his sinus.
Oh, well, maybe I misread a thing, or maybe the newspaper was sideways or something like that. Well, let me look at that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm wrong about it. Went in his cheek and just kept going. Let me tell you something about carpenters, Drew. I work with a lot of these guys. A lot of extra brain, a lot of extra room in the brain cavity there. You could put a piece of rebar in one ear and out the other. Probably wouldn't hit anything.
Well, you can actually keep nails in there if you have enough room.
A lot of guys I work with, that's where they, you know, a lot of people say they just keep them in their mouths. Yeah. No, they keep the 3 or 4 they're using in their mouth. But the actual box, the keg of nails, that's up in the...
It's in their head.
That's in the cabeza.
No,
sure.
Keep other tools in
I don't want to tell you where they keep the caulk. I don't want to say it.
Where?
I don't want to...
Where do they keep the caulk,
I can't
Adam?
Say where they
Come
keep
Come on.
I'll tell you this thing. They pump their fist, it comes out.
Oh.
But that's all I can say.
Oh, wait a second.
That's all I can say. They do that fist pump. That's when it comes out. It's a little bit of almost a dispenser. Drew, what are you seeing over there?
Saying that is this on? He looked up at somebody else was shooting nails and actually went through some wood and fired into him.
Through wood? It went all the way through the wood?
Yeah, let me read this.
What size nail was that? It's a big one.
He was looking up, went through the board, which must have slowed it down. Otherwise, it would have gone straight through and struck his brainstem, which would have killed him instantly.
No, it wouldn't have gone that deep.
Well, if it went through wood,
it's this far from his brainstem now. It's a half an inch from it.
Listen, I've fired a million of those things. They barely sink themselves into 2x4. I don't know what the hell that thing went through. The compressors. Well, find out what size nail it was, Drew.
He may have been working with balsa wood.
Yes, he was. Maybe he was.
he was building a giant airplane. Lolita?
Yes.
You're 29?
Yes.
What's up?
Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to you guys on and off for about 10 years, and I still have the same problem. I didn't call you about 10 years ago.
Well, thank you for limiting yourself to only 4 beers. Because it sounds like you have a buzz, but you're not loaded.
Oh, no, I haven't drank since New Year's.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. It's been a lot. Drew, did you find out what size nail that was?
Didn't say. But really? it goes maybe from his orbit to his brainstem, so it's got to be this.
Chris, find out the size of that nail. Go ahead, Lolita.
Oh, my dilemma is I've been married for almost 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Hey, hang on a second, Lolita. Where'd you get the idea that he didn't feel the nail going in? This guy was looking up, and the guy shot him in the face. And he's like, oh, well, went to the hospital.
Maybe it's another guy.
I think it was another guy.
This is something, well.
Go find the other guy. Chris, find the other guy. I'm telling you there's another guy.
Two guys?
Look, guys get shot.
Maybe it's Ty Pennington or whatever.
Oh, I could only be so lucky. Then I take over.
Absolutely.
And the cream rises to the top.
Absolutely.
4-inch nail?
How do you know that, Anderson?
Anderson said that. It's not a 4-inch nail.
Is this what it says here?
No, because
Littleton, Colorado?
Those guns shoot 16 penny nails, and I don't think those are 4 inches. They're like 3.5.
All right, Lolita, here we go.
This is exciting. Teenagers love this kind of
they do.
Penny talk.
Nail talk.
Nail talk. Hey, Chris, find out how many inches a 16 penny nail is.
Just look up 16 penny nails.
16 penny
nails.
Just
go
on
Google 16 penny nails.
Well, it's probably as long as 16 pennies.
No.
No. Lolita, what's going on?
All right.
This is why she's waited 10 years to suffer through this.
Yeah, what's 10 more minutes? Yeah.
Right. What's up?
Well, I'm kind of at the situation where my husband calls it my sexual dysfunction, and it's caused a lot of stress in my family. And
what is your sexual dysfunction?
My sexual dysfunction is I have a problem reaching orgasm.
You're unable to, or it's difficult for you?
Well, I've had about 3 since I lost my virginity at 19.
Mm-hmm. And does your husband do all the usual things to try to help you?
Yeah, I believe, we went to a sexual therapist and...
Mm. Oh. Man, that's uncomfortable for a dude.
Mm. Yeah, that's terrible.
Well, it's not. It's her orgasm.
Yeah, but they find out he's not going down on her, and then he cries, and he does that tuck thing in front of the mirror. Yeah, it's getting a little cathartic, but it can be embarrassing.
Well, the problem is I can't reach one by myself either.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever use a vibrator?
Yeah.
Does he do oral sex on you?
16-penny or 8-penny vibrator.
Does he do oral sex?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. All right. Do you have any medical problems?
No.
Are you on any medication?
I've listened. Basically, the therapist said, you have marital problems, and that's mainly what's keeping you from.
But it sounds like this has been happening since long before you were married.
That's true. So
has it been the same guy all along?
No. No.
Well, you sound depressed. Are you depressed?
No, it's late, and I'm just, I work, I have 2 kids, and...
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
So, are you on any medication?
No, I don't take any medication, just
Do you still see the sex therapist?
No, I quit. I felt we're not going anywhere.
How many times did you see her?
Him, I saw about 5-6 times.
Let me ask a delicate question. Do you guys have to pork in front of the therapist?
No.
No,
actually,
okay, because I misunderstood.
We went, and then the therapist wanted just to work with me, and he asked my husband not to come anymore.
And what was the issue he was working on with you?
Why I have a hard time reaching an orgasm.
Yeah, I know that was the theme, but what was the issue he was working on? Were you sexually abused? Were you abandoned, neglected, physically abused?
No, I wasn't. Well, that's one of the things is I come from a different culture, and we didn't really have a sex ed, and I didn't know about female orgasm for the longest time.
What's the culture you come from?
Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern Europe.
What part? Where?
Latvia.
Latvia.
Yeah.
I don't even know where that is. Somewhere around Hungary, right?
Baltic Sea.
Ah. Didn't help.
Yeah. Well,
you guys have those dots? You guys see those dots on your head?
No, we don't.
No. Well, then I don't know where.
All right. And your relationship with your parents was good?
My father is an alcoholic.
All right.
Yeah. Well. But he's the mayor. I mean, of their city. Yeah. I mean, nobody's. Everyone's a boozer over there, right? They have to drink.
All right. But the point is, though, she's got some issues, and maybe getting individual therapy and not focusing just on the sexual dysfunction might help you come along.
You got an alcoholic.
As your therapist said, you've got interpersonal issues. You're an adult child of an alcoholic. You have significant trauma issues. That stuff can all get sorted out.
Isn't everyone depressed from that part of the world?
Well, she sounds depressed. I sort of object to people looking at sexuality as an isolated phenomenon, absent the entire system.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sex is always a symptom of something far more global going on, either in the person or interpersonally.
Right.
And she needs to work on that.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's not one part that's broken down. Yeah. It's affected by all parts.
Yeah.
And having the alcoholic, possibly abusive dad and growing up in the environment
and being depressed.
And she sounds depressed.
Yeah, she may be chronically depressed, doesn't even know that she's depressed. And finally, there are biological things that can be adjusted, and that needs to be looked at very carefully.
It's been happening for 10 years. She's had four orgasms in 10 years.
All right. Yeah. Here's a guy who's a carpenter. Knows all about nail guns.
Should we bet that he's not a carpenter?
I just say he's calling our show, so be prepared for disappointment, everyone. Steve?
Hey, how you doing?
21.
I was just calling to clarify, actually. There's an NR90 commercial gun that'll shoot bigger than 16 penny nails.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it's only for commercial use for the most part, but it's an NR83 for the most part. It's the most common Hitachi. That's just a penny nail, but an NR90 will shoot up to a 4-inch nail.
What do they use it for?
Primarily for commercial work, for the big construction, the big buildings. You don't see it very much in residential.
Big buildings are made with girders and steel studs. They don't even use wood in big commercial buildings.
Well, that's for the most part the structure is all steel or whatnot, but most of the interior walls.
No, most interior walls are metal stud that are snapped into channels.
Well,
and
like
the drywall screwed off with tech screws.
They're not very common, but there are NR90s, and it's a commercial gun, and it carries a bigger slide than the NR83.
You're not going to get it's for pure work. It's
this
for work out of the seaside.
They use a lot of wood studs in commercial interiors. You're high. They don't use any wood in commercial interiors.
That's not so true, and for the most part, a lot of the old buildings, they use a lot of wood.
All right, there you go. Old buildings.
Yeah, but this gun is 5 years old. All right, I'm going to look into this. Thank you.
Okay,
Steve, what kind of work do you do, Steve?
I do carpentry, mainly residential. Every now and then we do commercial.
All right.
Have you used one of those big guns before?
No.
Actually, when I just started years ago, I bought it, and I hated the gun, and my boss actually used to make fun of me because of the fact that I spent $500 on a commercial gun we'll hardly ever use.
Yeah. Did you ever use it?
I used it for about 6 months, and then I went out and bought a...
What were you doing? Tell us where you were using it.
Well, you can use them with 16-penny guns, too.
Right.
So I was
didn't use it
for
commercial.
Steve?
You were just using a 4-inch nail, just nailing 2x4s.
Yes, you can. I was running 16-penny nails through it, but it'll shoot up to a 4-inch nail.
All right.
Steve, do you know where Latvia is?
Latvia?
Because we're just trying to
dots,
help the people with their orgasm.
Are those dots caused by nails? All right, Steve, do you want to stump me before you leave?
No, I wasn't trying to stump you.
Steve, try to stump him. Come on.
And listen, Steve, you're right. I mean, nobody uses one of those guns, but you're right to say they exist, and I'm sure they weren't using one of these through the guy's head.
Be the first to stump Adam, Steve. Come on. Give him a carpenter question. What?
I said I'll take a shot at it.
All right, go. Here we go. Here you go.
All right.
Let's hear it.
You're not faxing this in.
go ahead now.
No. I'm not going to ask a question. I figured you guys are going to try and ask me one and see if I can.
Ah.
Why don't you try to stump Adam?
All right. I'll try to stump you. OSB, what does it stand for?
Oriented Strand. I can't remember. Oriented Strand Board or something like that.
Yes.
Steve.
All right. What is the difference between a glue lamb and a paralam?
Let's see. I think glue lamb is actually glued together. No, paralambs are too. I believe glue lamp.
Oh, boy. Now this is wonderful.
Yeah. Even Huell Hauser loves it. All right, Steve, you know what you're doing, buddy. I'm giving you a B+.
B+? Well, you get the A if you stump Adam. Ask him a question, stump him. Right,
give me a stumper. Come on.
All right. Go ahead.
It's easy to do. There's tons of junk.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think. That's the thing. Is
well, what did you work on today? What did you work on today, Steve?
Actually, I'm at my other job today. But construction, the last I'm doing, I'm building a custom home currently.
All right, well, ask me a question about gay porn, then. Whatever
job you're on. Making, like, a wood railing, you know, or something, or like a staircase railing.
You got to put it on a topic I know something about.
Yeah. All right. All right, Steve, thanks, buddy.
Well, you guys have a good night.
All right, thanks for calling, man. All right, so he says there is a 4-inch nail that is shot from a gun.
All right.
But it's very uncommon. I'm saying I don't. It's like saying a guy got shot with a gun that isn't really in wide circulation.
Right, or you're at all in circulation.
You're going to put your money on the 9mm or the Saturday Night Special. You know, I'm playing the odds. That's all. All right, let's talk to Dave's got a foreskin question. Any hot chicks, Adrian?
Dave, real quick, what's the question? Piercing. Dave,
I birth control.
Go ahead.
I have two questions. The first one's about foreskin. The second one's about therapy.
Mm-hmm. What about the foreskin?
I like that in my penis. There's skin that folds. You can when I pull back my foreskin, like half of it is like you can pull it away from the head, and the rest is like stuck on there.
Okay.
Like it feels like it should come all the way back, but it doesn't.
Sounds like a malfunction.
No way you can get it back?
Not really. Like it slowly. It'll like tear away like certain parts, but when I try too hard, it'll rip a little bit.
It's like when a dog can't get his whole head through a fence, but you just see the snout sticking through.
Right.
It still barks. It still barks, but you don't get to see the dog's ears. The ears through.
I see.
It can still. Can it still eat?
Sure. It could eat. Yeah, it could eat.
And slobber.
It slobbers. Yeah.
So Dave. If it causes you discomfort, if it starts tearing, sometimes the narrowing and the tightness can get worse.
Got to get a cut.
It's a reason to get a circumcision if you're interested, but it's not an absolute indication yet.
Well, you should go to a urologist.
Go to a urologist and see about getting it snipped. It's not a big deal.
Sounds painful.
How about just a relief cut, little episiotomy on there?
Maybe they
can
do something like that. But the more you tear and cut, the more it tends to narrow.
I would like a flap. I would like just a relief cut down it. You know what I mean?
Are there procedures you can have that will remove, like, the foreskin all the way back so you're able to pull it back normally?
You could just have a circumcision.
Instead of having it removed, just have it pulled back?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, they might be able to stretch it out a little, too, or something.
Yeah, they might.
All right.
Let's see a urologist about that, okay?
What else? Anything else about
therapy?
Yeah, I come from an abusive family. My dad's an alcoholic, and he's verbally abusive.
Mm-hmm.
I have a younger brother and younger sister, and they grew up around that like I did.
Where's my bourbon? All right. Well, go find some therapy.
Yeah. I don't know what to do, though, really.
What about going to the nearest university?
Right. Are you going to college?
Yeah, no. Junior college.
Yeah. They probably still have some mental health services there. Go.
No. They barely have a snack shack.
They will.
Barely.
They will.
Yeah, here's how it works. There's some old broad who's smoking behind the window. You're like, yeah, listen, I'm having something. You want a peachy folder? My dad was verbally and physically abused. You don't want the peachy folder? I'm going through some issues, right? You can doodle on it. You know, you can turn the guy on the track into a gangbanger carrying a knife instead of a baton. That are you kidding? Everyone in junior college needs therapy.
Yeah, but they know that no one uses
that. You know what junior college is? Therapy with a fence. It's a corral of people that need therapy. It's 2,000 people that should be in a therapist's office instead of there.
But, yeah.
Please.
It's about the waiting room.
Stop wasting everyone's time with that cruddy junior college. Go to a real college. You know, he should go to NYU and throw himself on the mercy of their court.
Okay.
See what they got going
over there. Sure,
yeah?
That'd be great.
All right. We're going to take a little break. You find out how big a 16-penny nail was, Chris?
3 4/5 inches.
Ah.
3 4.
That's what it says over here.
3 4/5.
That's almost like 3 3/4 almost.
3 7 is light. 3 7. 3 4. Drew, look at that. What'd you call boring bit. We will take ourselves a little break. Adam Scott. I wish I'd never said that, Drew. I don't even know what context it was in. I wish it
you
never
were talking
came
about
out of my
a
mouth.
Bit.
All right.
You're talking like a boring bit that you use on a drill.
Thanks, genius.
When I turn it around, it means something else.
I was talking about Home Improvement then.
Yes, you were.
Oh, thank Christ. Adam Scott here from The Aviator. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Ready? Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. Tonight, our guest is Adam Scott, a dynamic young actor who's crafted his distinguished career in theater and television and is quickly becoming one of the finest newcomers to hit the big screen. Adam Scott, everybody.
Oh, my God.
And you know what?
Who wrote that?
It
came out of his head.
No one wrote that.
Wow.
Those are my feelings.
That's amazing. Thanks,
it's
Adam.
It's time you know how I feel.
Thank you.
Adam was most recently seen in the Warner Brothers action feature, Torque, for director Joseph Kahn. The film co-starred Ice Cube, again, just off the top of my head, Jamie Presley, Martin Henderson. Prior to that, Adam was showcased in Carl Franklin's High Crimes for 20th Century Fox.
Showcased?
Yeah, it was showcased. Yes, he was.
Publicist talk.
Now he can be found in a little indie film called The Aviator, everybody. Kiss his ass.
A low-budget
indie
upstart
Scorsese film.
Yes, The Aviator.
There's some
everybody.
Buzz on Martin Scorsese. I don't know if you've heard of this new director.
I know Martin Short.
Martin Short, yeah, different guy.
Different?
Different guy.
Oh.
Martin Scorsese is a film
Steve
director.
Steve Martin.
Nope, different guy. Oh. Still a different guy. I know.
So it's not.
This might take a while.
It's not either one of the Martins.
No.
All right.
Martin Scorsese. Just remember, write the name down. You'll hear about it.
I've not heard.
I promise.
Not heard. And by the way, when did he become Scorsese? He was Scorsese for a long time. Is he Scorsese? Did he change it? Do people change? What about Khan and Can? What about
the film festival town?
Hiroshima.
How about just who cares? Just call it all who cares.
It's back to Andre and Andrea.
Yeah.
It's who cares.
Would this be an awesome society if once somebody flip-flopped a couple times, you know, those jack-off buddies of yours named Chris who want to be called Christopher?
You get who cares, let moniker.
They immediately get, yeah. When Can goes to Con or Con goes to Can or
who cares?
You're now who cares.
So who cares film festival?
Yeah. You want to keep going? We're going toward who gives a rat's ass. you guys should be praying for your who cares designation.
who gives a rat's ass?
Right. And the Hiroshima and the Hiroshima and all that stuff, that'll be who cares too. And here's the deal. The who cares will last for 10-year period.
Before you can work it off.
You have to work it off, but then F up again.
Back on.
Yeah. Back on. That's how it's going to work.
It's tough love.
All right. And, the one that kills me is Neanderthal somehow became Neanderthal.
Oh, yeah.
What?
At some point.
Yes. I haven't heard that one.
Yes. I told you, I believe that every generation of scientist or scholar, whatever, has to make their mark by changing the nomenclature, by changing the words. And when I was in medical school, I had a professor calling skeletal. Nomenclature.
No.
We had 100 words like that. I was thinking,
professor, who cares?
Yeah.
He's just changed his title.
Umbilicus.
Really?
Cares? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Who cares?
Either one of those. I do remember a very uncomfortable conversation with my grandmother when she said that it's not clitoris. It's clitoris.
She went the other way.
We were saying clitoris on the radio, and my grandmother was listening and pulled me aside and said, it's clitoris.
Here's my way of doing it.
No,
the closer to how it's said, the closer to the center of the country you get, however they're saying it, that's how I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's they call it their jelly bean.
That's what I'm calling it.
He flipped my jelly bean.
Perfect.
He licked my mackinac.
Perfect.
He flicked my jelly bean. Yeah. No, you know, it was great, too. It was great. Well, my grandma's great, too. She's such a blowhard. She was like, she said she got indignant when we started arguing about it. Listen, I say clitoris, you say clitoris, you know, and she said, Hank Gale is a doctor. And he says, I said, what do you think Dr. Drew is? Just because he's my doctor friend means he doesn't mean anything. He's like a doctor. Like, what do you think? You think he got the doctor because he makes barbecue sauce? He's a doctor, you old bag.
I can't believe you even let that argument go on, like sitting around arguing with your grandma.
Then she brought up the rim job.
Ass full of her.
Oh, come on.
She did.
I swear to you.
Your grandmother brought up a rim job?
Yes. Let me just finish my clitoris versus clitoris argument with grandmother. Went to grandpa,
who's passed away now, but Grandpa's large print dictionary.
Oh, nice.
It is the size of a, like an IKEA, this dictionary, that you have to open it with a forklift. Use a gantry train to actually open the thing. The letters are actually the size. They're like, they're the size of a human being.
And you got the big upside down E at the end of clitoris. It's clitoris.
You know what it says? Can pronounce either way.
Of course.
All right. I said,
did they have a picture next to it? An enormous, a jelly bean.
Thankfully,
picture.
My grandmother still had hers.
And then the rim job. Want to tell them that story?
My grandmother wanted to know if I'd heard of a rim job.
Yeah. At dinner.
Yeah.
Announced it at the dinner table.
Wonder if anyone had heard of a rim job.
Oh.
Very uncomfortable.
That's very, very uncomfortable. And so what did you say?
I was like, can we please get back to the clitoris argument? Please?
I'm sure he took a beat. How bad could it be to just wait a little bit? I'm sure he took a beat.
My first impulse was, it was like a piece of trivia that you knew the answer to. Right. Your first was, sure. And then Sam was like, oh.
But had she heard of a rim job?
No. And that's,
she wanted to know what it was.
That was the shocking part. She hadn't heard of it, had somebody fill her in on it, and then understood the merits of it, but wasn't sure if it was for her. That was basic.
Appreciated the merits.
But couldn't judge.
So she wanted to hear from you the possible benefits.
No, she just wanted to know that she wasn't completely out of it.
It's sure.
Other
those,
people hadn't heard of it as well.
It's one of those things where a couple people go, oh, yeah, no, sure. No, you hadn't heard of that? And then you go home and go, does everyone know? You do that thing. Sure. You go home, you say to your wife, hey, I didn't know that. Yeah, that one. Well, that was her with rim job.
Mm-hmm.
I bit my tongue. Yeah. I did that.
Didn't your sister say something like, well, Adam knows.
I blocked a lot of stuff out. I know. I think it's just best that
way. I agree.
Your grandmother sounds awesome.
Delight. Jill?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
My boyfriend has a hard time keeping an erection during sex.
Mm-hmm. How long into it does he lose it?
Sometimes it'll be like basically sex with him never lasts more than 10 minutes.
So he ejaculates and then he loses his erection, right?
Oh, no. Like, sometimes after a minute, it'll just go soft. And he won't even notice that it's gone soft. I'll have to say something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How long have you guys been together?
A year.
Wow.
That's weird.
So Has it always been that way?
Pardon me? You're both talking at once.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just picturing him not, like, for you, he must feel like you're just being raped with a slinky. And he doesn't know it?
How could he not know?
A worm. I don't know.
Well, the feeling... True.
Pardon me?
How does he stay...
How dare you ask such a sensitive question.
No, how does he stay inside?
He doesn't. It kind of, like...
It falls out. And then how does he not know that's what's happening?
Maybe he's just pretending.
Yeah, he's just embarrassed and sort of...
It's like a little bit will stay in.
You know, the embarrassing part is he's like, take it all, bitch.
Yeah.
He's like flopping around the bed. Yeah, you love it. Yeah. I know what that quizzical look on your face means, baby. What is that, Drew?
That's weird.
He's got to know.
He's got to know and just be so embarrassed he can't deal with it.
That's what I think. Has it always been like that, the whole year you've been together?
Basically. It seems to happen more, like, when we're having sex more regularly, but then, like, sometimes even if we haven't had sex for a week, it'll happen.
And now let me ask a couple questions. Are you guys using a condom when this happens?
Sometimes not.
Not all the time. Is he on any medication?
No.
He's not diabetic or has any medical problems?
He has a twin brother who's diabetic. I don't know if that...
He might want to get his blood sugar checked because diabetes can definitely affect erectile function.
How's that work with twins?
Are they identical twins?
No, they're fraternal.
Yeah, not necessarily, no.
What if they were identical?
Then it'd be more likely, obviously.
It would?
Yeah, they're still thought to be an environmental hit.
But not a given.
Not an absolute, no.
Really?
There's an environmental hit oftentimes with diabetes.
There
it's a genetic predisposition. Some people even think it's a virus that you're genetically prone to. Having this from.
I remember hearing about the virus.
Viral theory.
It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a subset of it is the virus and some just genetically triggered.
Jill? But,
all right, Jill.
Type 1 and type 2 kinds of diabetes. He has the kind where you get it as a child.
It's type 1. It's juvenile onset insulin deficient diabetes. What does he say when this happens?
He says, I don't know, I just, it's, he says it's like he can't keep the blood in there.
Yeah, well, I understand that that's a description of what's happening.
This is all new ground for me.
He needs a medical evaluation to make sure there's not something going on. It, conceivably, he could even use Viagra for this sort of
thing.
Well,
if you're losing it when you're in...
That's bad.
That's an issue. And it's one thing when you're nervous and you can't get the condom on and,
Well,
I drank too many wine coolers. I'm not going to apologize to you or anybody else, but I'm saying...
But some people feel overwhelmed and anxious when they're in.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
No, see,
yeah,
that,
but after
that's
a
when
year,
I hit my zone.
I know.
So I hit my focus. Yeah. After year. All right. He needs a medical evaluation
first.
Okay.
And they may be able to use something like Viagra for him. But then again, you need to get him to be more honest about what's going on with him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is he as young as you are, 19?
He's 23.
He's an older man.
He's not doing drugs or alcohol at the time?
Oh, no.
I'll tell you, at 23, when your joint is tacoing.
That's bad news.
In the shell.
It's worming,
you
as
know
she
what
described
I mean?
It.
Yeah, I mean, when it's actually folded over... and you're actually in. That's a bad sign at 23.
Because at 23, you're supposed to be walking around with an erection.
Yeah, it's hard to process that. It's like,
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I had the other day? I had such a good boner. Just waking up from a nap.
Please tell me. Yes, yes. Wait, I'm painting the picture. Hold on. Shh. Okay.
Well, true.
Adam waking up with such a good boner. Go ahead.
Well, please.
Go ahead.
Well, no, you're a doctor.
No. Yeah, sure.
Drew, if you're going to make fun of me, I'm not going to open up.
Please, go ahead. I'm painting.
All right. I woke up from a nap.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great...
Can't look at you while you're talking about it.
World-class boner. And by the way, I don't know why the greatest 150 boners of my life, there's not been a chick within 80 feet of my door. How's that
What makes a world-class boner?
I don't... There are times...
You're gay.
There are times when there's blood in it, and there's times when it's stretching toward the sun.
I see. A stretch.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Reaching out.
All right, okay. Go ahead.
And I cracked it.
Oh, cracked your penis.
Yes, I did the crack.
You cracked it?
It had been many years since I've cracked it, and I actually did the crack.
Wait, what's the crack?
The suspensory ligament of the penis, which I can show you in this book if you want.
Well, I can show you.
But it can crack like any other, ligament.
Yeah.
Like a knuckle?
Yeah. Never done that?
No.
Do it for Naomi. She'll dig it.
Okay.
She loves it. I mean, I would imagine. Just do it.
I'll get quite a response, you're saying.
Yes.
You already know that.
Yes. I feel it. You know, a man has a feeling about these things. Yeah, you will get a crack. If you get a good one going, you will
But it has to be like a reaching for the sun boner.
Yes.
Reaching for the heavens.
Yearning to be free kind of thing. Drew has now pulled out the picture book. This is some of the best radio he does, by the way.
This is the part that cracks right there.
Yeah. The ligament
that's here. Adam pointing at a picture that Drew's pointing at.
Now, this is an enormous penis.
That's huge.
This is your anus is over here.
Well,
that's not my anus.
Adam, let me give you a little tip, by the way.
Yeah.
I haven't mentioned this in a while.
Sure.
But, Drew, in terms of measuring the penis, as you know, I believe... The proper way to measure the penis is from the center of the anus to just past the tip.
Absolutely.
That's Adam's measuring, yes.
That's the way I do
it. And he gets 5 1/4 that way. So, okay, let's take a break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really. 5 5/16 is now 5 1/4. Since when? Genius. How dare you? Let's take a break. Did you find that picture of the nail going into the guy's chin, Chris?
Not the picture, but I found the story.
You did.
It happened like 3 days ago.
All right, buddy. 16 penny? How many? 3 1/2? How big was the nail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Chris, I have a picture of a penis that goes all the way to an anus.
There's a drawing. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah. Woo! Get it on. I'll tell you what, boy. Gotta get it on. Really have no choice but to get it on, yes, Drew?
You have no choice.
Drew found the nail in the head story, by the way.
Chris found it.
Chris found it.
Yeah.
Engineer Chris.
Thank you.
What can't he do? Well, there's only 13 minutes left in the show, so we won't get into that because it's going to take two shows of this. But the point is he found it, and the nail did go in the guy's head, and it was there for a little while, right?
Yes, a couple days.
Couple days.
Two nails shot out, one... shot across the room and the other went into his head.
16 penny inch, 3 1/2 inch nail in your head, and you don't notice for a few days.
Wow.
We could all have 16-penny-inch nails in our heads right now, and we wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
DNJ.
Wow. What is that?
Definitely not Jewish.
Definitely not Jewish. Not a Jew. Can't be a Jew. All right. Drew, I want to talk to some people who have been on hold for a million years. Okay. Like, this guy's on hold for 101 minutes, for the love of Christ. Adrian?
Hey, what's up, Adam? Oh, my gosh. Loved you on Rachel Ray on Food Network.
Is that on?
I already saw it. I have TiVo.
I thought it was coming on Friday.
That's what I heard, too.
Uh-huh.
How was that? I was high as a kite on Vicodin. I just got my hernia surgery.
Oh, my God. Oh,
I got my hernia surgery at 5 in the afternoon.
Oh, my God.
One night. The following morning, I was doing this interview in this restaurant. Man. I had 8 Vicodin in me, and then we started drinking wine. I don't remember a thing.
Oh, man.
Was I fabulous, Adrian?
You were you, Adam. I love you to death. And on top of that, I love
you. You sucked, Adam.
You may call me a suck up, but you know what? The funny thing is, though, I watched that new Comedy Central show with you as a pig.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you as a pig, unibrow, and defecating in a fruit is just like you pissing inside the bathroom sink.
Yeah. Huh? Thank you. What? And by the way, people say I urinate in bathroom sinks. All sinks.
Mm hmm. Kitchen sinks.
Sinks out in people's yards.
Sinkholes. During the recent rains. I didn't win any popularity contests when I went to some of these slide areas and began urinating.
Mm-hmm.
was a bad photo op. Yeah. Publicists hate it, but what are you going to do? I urinate in sinks.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real. All right, Adrian, what's up?
All right. I have penis piercings.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had them for a while, and Dr. Drew, is there any long-term effects of having penis piercings?
I don't know that there's any particular additive effect of keeping them in. Well, certainly having them
has... What about all the historical greats that had, like, the C-rings and the Prince Alberts and the barbells going through their joints?
Alexander Hamilton had.
Well, Hamilton had one, I believe.
Aaron Burr.
Burr had one. I think that's what the dispute was.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on.
Orson
Roosevelt, Orson Welles, Cavett, I believe, had one.
Henry Cavett. Oh.
Yeah, what about it,
Sebastian
Drew?
Cavett.
I don't have them going through the muscle. I have them actually going through the surface tissue on top.
I just think
the Family Affair Butler had one.
I want to now watch that show again.
All right, Adrian,
with a piercing.
All right, Drew. Hey, look, first off, you can't say what are long-term effects of anything at 18.
Well, here's the deal. There are effects of having piercing. People can have erectile difficulty. People can get infections. People can have distortions of the penis. People can have, you know, all kinds of things can happen. But I don't think that by leaving a piercing in, you necessarily compound your risk.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, just having it is risk enough. Leaving it in, I've not noticed that it really makes that much more difference to you.
All right, now
unless you have active sort of, you know, sort of discharge from it.
Now I got to talk about Family Affair for a second. You want to talk about a bummer.
Well, isn't
that sitcom? First off, is it fair to even call that a sitcom?
Bummer. Isn't Paris Hilton's mom?
I don't know.
Wasn't that somebody
on the show?
She was the older daughter, maybe, or something?
No.
Really?
No. She wasn't Sissy. All I remember,
No,
Drew,
she was the
you don't know anything. No, she was not.
I gotta look this up.
Please get out of here with your crazy obsession.
I hate that show.
You should. Because here was every single episode of Family Affair. Uncle Bill, are we going to the circus this weekend? I gotta go to Tokyo on business.
I know. And then the two kids in their yellow sweaters would, like, run around.
And they just stood there disappointed while Uncle Bill left town again. And Brian Keith was just the biggest bummer.
Yeah.
Drew, go look that up, Weisenheimer.
I bet they're going to make that into a movie in the next 6 months.
By the way, the chick killed herself. That's how big a bummer it is. As Eric, you want to know what a bummer it is? Two cast members killed themselves.
Yeah. Who did? I know the boy did.
No, the girl killed herself. Drew, how do you screw up so often?
What did I say?
You said the boy did.
I did, right.
No, he didn't kill himself.
But who's the other person?
The boy didn't?
Dude, Brian Keith did.
Brian Keith killed himself.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
He did?
Yeah. Later in life. And by the way, you kill yourself in your 70s, it shouldn't count.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, if you kill yourself, they don't let you into heaven. I say if you're 75 and you got ID and you kill yourself, it's sort of like, well, heaven, first floor.
Right.
You're not going. You're not.
It's
going
like getting a parking validation.
Yeah. You're not going to the club floor, but absolutely. We'll let you in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You kill yourself at 15, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kill yourself at 75.
Well, there's probably good reason at that point.
75?
Yeah.
But at least you thought about it.
Yeah. You gave it a good 75 years.
Yeah. It's like I was going to kill myself in 1941, but I wrote it out a few more years. Right. Now I'm going to eat a bullet at 75. All right, Drew, if you got anything there. To do with almost Paris there. Hilton, by the way.
Almost there.
I just remember Family Affair. That was like, I was so young. It was before I was able to change the channels or have any sort of say in what we would watch.
Yeah.
It's an endless purgatory of that in Little House on the Prairie.
I could have changed the channels if I had a pair of vice grips. Our family had that white trash TV where the thing snaps off, and then you got to put the vice grips on there.
Sure,
that's
changed
good.
That. All right, what do you got, Drew?
Hold on.
All right, Drew's got nothing. We're going to take ourselves a little break. I'm going to talk to, someone who's been on hold 56 minutes. Ooh, Naomi. Not your Naomi. Naomi?
Family Affair. There she is.
18.
Hi. This is Paris Hilton's mother.
Huh? Really?
Yes.
But not that's not the girl.
Well, let me see who it is.
Girl. And it's not Buffy either. Keep going. Go ahead, Naomi. You're 18.
Uh-huh.
Your boyfriend's sperm burns you.
Yes.
You got to get like some shop goggles or something.
No, not her eyes.
No, you're saying your eyes, right?
What?
You always wear eye protection. And I wear ear protection too, but that's, you know, because, you know, my lady's a groaner. But, no, it burns you when it touches your skin?
No. When it's inside.
Inside
when
you.
It's inside me.
Okay, I see.
It burns for for half
okay.
an hour.
Okay, well, you got to spit it out. I
says here she played sissy.
All right, hold on a second. Wait a minute, I'm all over the place.
Is it?
What about it, Drew? Can you be allergic? We get
you
this.
Can be, but it's usually not that. It's usually that she has other sort of vaginal infection or vaginitis, and it's just something coming in there that's not usually there. Causes some more irritation.
Paris Hilton's mom is Sissy from Family Affair.
That's the best I can put it together here.
All right. I'm going to apologize for now, but then later on I'm going to be angry when I find out you're
wrong. That's not the case.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
So I stand corrected on Paris Hilton's mom. She played Carol in Family Affair.
Who was not really
who
on
was
Family
whatever
Affair.
That is. Yeah.
She showed up once. Mm-hmm. All right, Drew. Who's right?
You're right.
All right. I'm gonna.
By the way, I trust your instincts so much is why I kept looking.
Thank you. That's why. I mean, after I yelled at you to
no,
go look.
No, you said. Yeah.
All right. Let me give my impersonation of Uncle Bill. Being right. Yeah, I've got some clients coming in.
Bill, will you take us to the park? Will you take us to the park?
I've got to go to Tokyo on business.
Can I get a big red ball?
Pull your pants down, kids.
All right, here we go. Adam Scott.
I'm going to rape you the Jack Daniels.
There we go.
Adam Scott, everybody. Aviator. All right,
Thanks, guys.
Come back when all those other movies come out.
Thanks
too,
for having me. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I had the other day? I had such a good boner.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.